Welcome to The Complete Musician, creativity at its core, exploring innovative musical ideas, thoughts, and techniques for the modern musician in today's society, with your hosts, James Nagus and Drew Phillips.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Complete Musician Podcast. I'm Drew.
And I'm James.
And I sound sick, and I don't think I'm actually sick. I think I'm just exhausted.
And I promise I'm not laughing because you sound sick and tired. I'm just laughing because it's been so long since we've done this, and I feel like half of our episodes start with that disclaimer.
That I'm sick.
But it's probably because we're so tired, and that's why. So it's apt.
I'm tired for a specific reason, and okay. We'll definitely talk about it, but yeah, I'm just generally tired, so it's because of the thing I'm working at, but we'll talk about that, because this is going to be like an update episode for everyone.
Well, yeah, I think we can do a little bit of update, a little bit of some of maybe our summer stuff.
Sure.
But for those maybe that are new to the podcast, I don't think we really say, like,
oh man,
we have to do that. This is the Complete Musician Podcast. We talk about music things, and it's usually sometimes it's technique based, sometimes it's stream of consciousness, sometimes it's your topics that you want us to talk about. But it's just been so long, so we just like, okay, press record and go.
We're already probably on a list of like music podcasts, like this is a podcast by two horn players, and then off to the side it says parentheses inactive.
Yeah, that's right.
And yes. So now we have to do the, like, for those of you that are new here, like, I'm Drew and I do this and that kind of thing. If you don't know us, you should just go, like,
just go read a book.
That's true. You know us. You know us. You love us. We're here. We're back.
Well, let's put it this way. There's no way you accidentally stumbled upon this.
I don't know about that. You never know. Like, hey, if someone could have been searching for, like, tutorials for... There's a textbook called The Complete Musician.
Oh, okay. Here's an idea. Let's get some data. What would be the most hot-button topic that we can say in audio in this podcast that'll then make this appear on search results?
It's got to be something probably, like, rage-baity, because yeah, that's, like, the... that'll make
something about searchers. Let's see, audition no hires, easy technique for high range, why ten... your teacher is wrong.
Oh wow, that's 10 fail-proof ways to ensure a perfect recital.
Oh yes, yeah.
Oh, no, 10 fail-proof ways to win the audition.
Mm-hmm. And then just randomly trying every flavor of Mountain Dew. or trying all of the food items at Dollywood.
At Dollywood? I like Who the knows? Randomness. I like the randomness. I'm trying to think of something rage-baity. Like,
sure.
And what would people care about that's like rage baity that they would? Oh, I know. Lacquer doesn't affect the sound. Disgust.
Ooh,
that's a big. Cutting your bell doesn't have any effect on.
Why on you the should change your horn. Mouthpiece?
Why your mouthpiece stinks? Why yeah. mine is better than yours? that's pretty rage baity.
Okay, so okay, now
well, hashtag
this
all
episode.
Of that and.
Yeah. It'll appear on, you know.
It won't be just those unfortunate people wanting music theory help. It'll be everyone.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So
I liked that. Anyway, I like that one you did about high range. That's really going to draw some people in.
I think so. Because
the trumpets learned to do that a long time ago.
It's the only way to prove your worth.
At a higher, louder, faster.
That's what impresses me.
Yeah. Me too. I mean, I'm a sucker for anyone who can squeal. That's just my favorite sounds.
Anyway, that's the Maynard approach to brass playing.
There you go. Anyway, all right, away from all that.
from yeah. all that, we transitioned to actually probably what we're talking about a little bit, some summer things, especially working with maybe some students who do prioritize thinking about, you know, social media and high range and things like that, which is the younger crowd.
Yeah. And, I don't know. You know what? The younger crowd now, I think there's like a period we've reached now where, you know, when like Instagram took off and like everyone got on Instagram, and that was like after Facebook, because Facebook was like taken over by people who write paragraphs, and everyone right. went to Instagram because it was like just pictures, and you can't like, I mean, you can publish your thoughts now, but I've noticed a trend with like younger generations that they don't have social media, or
right.
like even the most popular, I don't know, people on like Instagram, or even like, well, not TikTok so much, but like Instagram, or there's probably some new platform that I have never heard of. They don't post, but if they do, it's like once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like what they do now. So I wonder if like, is social media dying? Have we finally come to the realization that it is like detrimental to our mental health?
I hope so.
I do too. But you know what? Podcasts have gotten really popular. Also, YouTube has surged again.
True.
Yes. YouTube has surged. It really came forth in like, I think I was in college. We were in college when YouTube started. Like, and it was the 4x4 screen that we couldn't blow up.
I mean, it was a little before then, but yeah, pretty much. I mean, early college, yeah.
It blew up then, but then it like kind of not went away, but like people stopped doing it. But that, I think it's big again.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are, and podcasts. I think people are doing podcasts now.
Right.
So
like us, we just started one. Like us. It's this one. It certainly hasn't been going on.
We just started it again. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Anyway, 2017. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's been almost 10 years. We should do something big for the 10. I know. 10 years. Maybe we'll put out more than 4 episodes a year.
Maybe.
Okay, I totally distracted you. Yes, we have both. I am currently, you have and are going to be working with students. That didn't make any sense. That are, it were like at a camp festival situation.
Yeah, summer camp, yeah. Summer festivals. But ours are just slightly different too, which I'm trying to remember if we did an episode talking about like summer things. But
I honestly can't remember.
I think it's worth talking about.
It's been 9 years.
It has been. We have never repeated ourselves once.
Not once.
In 9 years.
No. We're really good at that.
But I know the kind of scope of both of the places you're working at and I have taught at are different with some core like elements. But so what have you been up to?
So currently I am in the middle of the week of teaching at an orchestra festival called Masterworks. It is a faith-based festival. And it's orchestral, and we bring in lots of teachers. There's like, if for some instruments, there are teachers that have stayed. It's a 4-week-long festival for the students, and some of the instruments have teachers that stay the whole time, and others don't. Like for the horns, at least there have been 3 faculty members. There was like a guy who was here the first 2 weeks, and then one person the third week, and then I'm the last person. So the festival is actually ending on Sunday. And so, it's an orchestra festival. They're playing crazy amounts of literature, and they're all tired by this point. All the students are tired.
Week 4? Yeah, it's kind of a lot.
The lit is, I love that it's like really legitimate literature. Like, they started like the first week was like Mendelssohn 3 and what else did they play? I don't know. That was like the big draw there. Oh, they played Terry Everson, the trumpet player and teacher at BU. He played I think the Stevenson Trumpet Concerto number 3 called Hope, I think. Anyway, it's beautiful. And Terry's an amazing player and teacher. But those are like the big pieces there. Second week, I think I did Ravel Piano Concerto and
wow,
some other piece. Last week was Beethoven 7 and Rock 2.
Nice.
And then this week is Concerto Competition Winners and good old Pines of Rome.
Mm. Got to go out with a bang there.
Oh, we're going out with something. So but it's been great. And the students have been fantastic because, like you said, they want to be here. They want to play good music. They want to get better. And they're sweet kids. I get one lesson with them. We have sectionals and we do brass choir and then there's a faculty brass quintet that we're playing. We're playing a quintet tomorrow night, actually. That's have you ever heard of Coutier's Kinder Circus?
Oh yeah. Right. Is it very Coutier-ish?
No. Like no. I don't think so, because like, I mean, we played plenty of Coutier before, and it's like always kind of quirky. I kind of think of it, it's kind of like Poulenc, but like not as dissonant, because I feel like Poulenc does like tongue in cheek stuff and like has nasty sounds to be nasty, you know? Like
sure, yeah, right.
That's what I feel like about him, and I feel like Coutier does the same thing, but on like a lighter scale. Mm-hmm. So like, but it's like it's accessible. Like I think about like his horn quartet, you know, it's like, or his brass quintet. Like they're really nice. They're like idiomatic. They're tough, but like it sounds good, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have all agreed that this quintet is like, why is this written this way? Like this is really hard. For what reason?
I need to listen to it again. But
I think it's like wildly difficult. I also don't know of many QCA things that like I feel like I have to cover the entire expanse of the instrument in one part. Like his brass quintet's definitely not like that when I remember playing it. Like it felt,
the horn solos are pretty all over the place though.
Are they?
Yeah.
It was a long time ago that I played it. I don't remember it being like, I don't remember feeling like I'm playing like both fourth and principal horn in one piece. Like it feels really insane. And also, I also don't remember, but maybe you can correct me. I guess maybe I'm just dumb. Like I don't remember Coutier being a ton of like articulation focus.
That depends on the movement. Yeah. I mean, like, his divertimento, or the little short piece rather, it's kind of very technical.
I can't remember. It just doesn't sound like I typically would think it would be. But, you know, anyway, maybe, I don't know. Anyway, the brass quintet's really hard. And so we're going to do that tomorrow night. And so that'll be fun. There are some nice moments, though.
And that's one of the reasons why you're tired is Coutier. We can blame.
That actually is.
Turn your brain on for those rehearsals.
Yeah, like, yeah, there's stuff. Anyway, but yeah, it's been great. I just feel like these days, and we were talking about this earlier, it just feels like every day is so packed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, orchestra starts at 9, goes to 11:30, and then it's like, from there, it's like lessons, sectionals, choir, like brass choir, or coaching or something. And then I get home at 10:30 at night. And I've like packed all my food and brought it with me, and I'm like, oh, wow. It's like work day plus another work day.
But it's also different because normal work days, there's a certain kind of routine. There's a certain kind of things you can expect. There's, you know, you're building on skills. You're not every session is its own like universe, which with a lot of these summer camps, it is, whether it's one-off lessons or one-off coachings. So it's like, you're not that you can't or don't have to be engaged normally, but like you got to be super on your toes. And
you're right. It's there's no continuity in a lot of these. It's just, yeah.
Right. Or maybe you have to be just an extra version of yourself too, or we feel like you have to do that versus just kind of being, you know, relaxed into your normal teaching style.
Yeah. Yeah. as I'm getting older, I don't know if I can give, like, I don't know if I can be extra anymore.
Yeah, right. There's no reason that you have to be. I think being authentic is good. Oh, I think a big part of, like, learning who you are as a teacher is actually just, like, calming down into your authenticity.
There you go. That's what I'll call this. When I fall asleep in lessons, I'm calming down into my authenticity.
I've heard stories of various horn professors in the olden days who would literally fall asleep. Didn't your old teacher that used to study from actually fall asleep in lessons?
Yes. And of course, I mean Jeff Agrell. We both mean Jeff Agrell. Jeff has just knocks out in a lesson, and then he starts dreaming and babbling in Swedish, and it's just no, that's not true. Jeff never fell asleep in a lesson. No, but yes. So
yeah,
yep.
But we don't do that.
But no, we don't. No, we don't. That's no. Anyway, it's been a great festival. It's been so much fun, and I'm glad it's only 1 week that I'm working because it's tiring. But yeah, so that's mine's an orchestral festival, but the one that you have just done and then the one that you're going to do is a different
school. Oh, right.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, the one I did was Cormont, which formerly Kendall Betts, but they rebranded to Cormont. And it's the same as we talked about it before, so it's days packed full of lessons and various classes and master classes and horn choir and all kinds of stuff. I taught fundamentals again this year, which was 4 back-to-back sessions of fundamentals, which is a lot of fundamentals.
I have a question, actually.
Okay.
I think this is the second year you did it?
For the fundamentals course?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't it 5 days last year?
Well, so there were 6 days.
Oh, okay.
And there's still 6 days of instruction. I just taught it twice a day. Oh. Last year, I taught it 4 times a day.
Oh, okay. This year. I remember us talking about, like, pillars of playing. Like, you were coming up with how you were structuring.
I was. And actually, I changed one thing. Which,
oh, okay. That was a
fun
topic.
I had the 6-day plan. And the 6th day was musicality, which was kind of a conceptual thing. And the 5th day was like scales and kinesthetic. So I actually combined those on day 5 because then day 6, we did a little game. It was like an error detection kind of game. It's where we paired up people, teacher, a student. They were playing, was it Conconi No. 1? And so the quote unquote student would draw something from a hat that would be like, plays with bad hand position, or plays with the wrong articulations, or, you know, has a really narrow aural cavity, like puts their teeth are too close together. And the other person had to figure out what the heck was going on.
Wow. You're teaching with, like, the next generation of teachers.
Well, that's the thing. That's the big philosophical fundamental, is that the final fundamental is the analytical skills that take us to the next level. So active listening and problem solving. Boom. And it was fun. We had some good laughs.
We had some good laughs. What was the funniest, like, thing that people had to do? Play with the horn backwards.
Yeah, one was just a really, like, bad horn carry. One was, let's see, just stopping in the middle of the etude and not continuing.
Just staring.
Yeah. One was forgetting to breathe. Like, just not breathing. And then, actually, some of the funny ones are where the person doesn't get it, but everyone else in the room is dying because it's so obvious.
Okay.
And they're like, I don't know, it sounds good. And, you know, they were actually, like, transposing or something.
Oh, wow. Oh, that would have been funny. Or turn your chair around backwards.
Well, I mean, I think that would be pretty obvious.
That
would
be a good one. You never know.
Yeah, it's true. You never know. A lot of people.
Hey, that's how you know someone's watching you. That's because true. You know, what if? Have you ever walked into a lesson and, like, your teacher's at their desk and they're just, like, looking at their computer and they're like, all right, just play, and they never look up from their computer.
That's right. Yeah.
That's how you know.
My whole thing happened.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, I don't care what it looks like if it sounds good. That's all I care about. So, you know, but
there you go.
There are maybe some exceptions. Someone got through their whole undergraduate experience sounding good and then couldn't land a job because they
faced the wrong way.
I don't know. Were played standing on their head, then that would be my fault.
Yeah, a little bit. That happened in an audition once.
First you stood on your head?
Yes. No, the person never looked at me in the eye.
Ah.
And like not until about 20 minutes of playing later.
Good. That's someone you want invested in your career.
I'll tell you later. I'll tell you later. Anyway, so yeah, well anyway, that sounds fun, and I love that. Teaching the next teachers, teaching everyone to be their own best teacher.
I mean, that's the best kind of what we got to do to keep things moving forward. So that was that week.
Yeah, talk about your next one.
It's the Heartland Horn Camp. It's over camp in Iowa by our good buddy Wayne. And it's just, you know, kind of more of the same. Just focus on fundamentals, some standard orchestral excerpts, and just also just like being a happy, healthy person. So doing extracurricular activities together and, you know, good meals and stuff, like not just focusing on drilling music, but kind of this well-roundedness as a person too. So work hard, play hard.
Are you gonna go play pickleball?
Oh, that's a good question. I should probably bring my gear. I think
I'll go play racquetball.
Half courts. Oof. Yeah, I know that's dangerous. I'm too old for that now.
Oh no, it was, I mean, we could still do it. It was only like 15 years ago that we played.
Yeah, I know, it was like 14-15 years ago.
Yeah.
Back when we were bendy and flexible.
We started playing racquetball way too late. Like,
right. Yeah.
We only started like 2 or 3 months before the end of, before I left. That, man.
Well, I think we're just too busy.
Yeah, we're too busy playing Guitar Hero and Halo.
Hey,
and...
you know, priorities.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's true. Anyways.
But yeah, so those have been some of the summer things I know we've been doing. And, then in and around all of that, just life, you know, I don't know about you, but like the balance and the nice thing about the kind of academic calendar is that we do get time to just have a little bit of downtime or to focus on family or to do creative projects. And, but you still got to plan that stuff or else summer flies by and before you know it, you know, faculty meetings are knocking on that door and, oof.
Yeah,
that'll be soon.
It was a this summer has been very needed, and it's been very chill. So I've really liked it. Very, very chill. Good. I've gotten to, you know, have like a nice, I don't know about routine, but like I've been able to kind of relax a lot more this summer than I feel like in previous summers. So I think it's been really necessary. The academic year was tough. This past year in particular, but it's okay. I also, since we last did our podcast, I picked up another job. I am now my church's pianist.
Awesome.
So there's a lot of piano playing I've been doing lately, which is cool. I mean, I feel like I've maybe even gotten better at piano now. Can I tell you what the scariest thing in the world to do on piano is?
Wait, let me guess.
Okay.
Play like the sacred Easter hymn that if every note isn't hit exactly right, then you will be excommunicated.
Okay, so you read my mind. The scariest thing in the entire world to play are hymns. They're terrifying.
Oh. You hit one clunker of a note and the lightning strikes you.
It's terrifying. I hate playing hymns. I absolutely, that's not true. I don't hate it. It's just, I feel so much pressure playing hymns because, you know, when I play like choir stuff, like that's not so bad because it's generally like, you know, flowy and has more idiomatic, like the piano likes to do. And there's some bad writing there too, like for piano that you're like, nah, I'm not going to do all this, or I'm going to leave out something, or I tend to make up a lot of things too. So I'm doing a lot of improvising lately.
Oh, I mean, that's the job of a church pianist is to improvise.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm doing a lot of that lately, but hymns just scare me because it's just every note has to be like right there. It's got to be perfect, and they haven't all been perfect. So
I think you should make a book of hymns in the style of Jim Brickman with that syncopation.
Usually, you know, that's what I tend to do anyway. Because, like the structure of what I do, like, it depends on the verse structure, but, like, most of the time, like, the last verse, I'll kind of go ham and just kind of start arpeggiating. I also, like, it makes me realize how much my music theory skills come into play, because when I'm sight reading, which I have to do a bit, especially that hymn sing we did at my church, where people just called out random hymns.
Oh, dear.
And I just had to play. And some of them, I'm like, I know this, but, like, I have never laid fingers on this before. It made me realize how much my music theory skills come in, because I truly realize it now. Like, as I'm playing, I'm not reading the notes. I'm analyzing every chord as I'm going along.
Sure.
And then my hand just goes to the shape. And especially when I'm doing something like my left hand is now going to arpeggiate to make a more full sound, or making up something harmonically in my right hand or something to chord or to just make up a new line. Like, I'm doing all that music theory work in my head without thinking about it.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm thankful that we had classes in school like music theory and we had to do things like like harmonic analysis that allows me to have that skill and do it, because if I didn't do that, then it wouldn't happen, and I'd just be stuck playing, you know, what's on the page. But I hardly ever do that now. So,
well, I would gander that your work as a composer is more even useful. Well, it's an application of all of that. Essentially, it's the intersection of all of those arms, which encapsulates perfectly this concept of our podcast. Really,
yeah,
Which is pretty cool. I do have a question for you now that you've been playing more piano. People ever ask you when they meet you for the first time, you say you're a musician or that you're a teacher, oh, what do you play?
Oh, yeah.
Wait. And so what is your answer there? I'm just curious.
Okay. So, sorry, I'm eating blueberries too.
Because there's a couple like ways this could go too, and a couple things that ways I've answered that have been more or less successful.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, let me start off by saying that I typically don't tell people what my job is. And that's because usually when you tell people you're a musician or whatever, then you're right. You get inundated with 1,000 questions. And sometimes I just don't really want to talk about my job. And I know that's terrible. That's terrible sounding. But especially, okay, if you're at the gym and you like, you know, talking to someone or working in with somebody and you're just like introducing yourself, I don't want to talk about music.
No.
I couldn't care less about music. And I really don't want to talk about it. So I typically don't tell people at first, honestly. I'd be interested to know about you. Like, when someone asks you, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you say?
Well, the context with being where I live is that I say I teach at UGA.
That's exactly
like,
what
that's
I say.
That's what I lead
say,
with.
Uh-huh. That's what I say first, is I say, oh, I usually say I'm a teacher.
And then inevitably, oh, what do you teach? And then you say?
I say I teach at LU. Uh-huh. Actually, that's not true. I usually say I work at LU.
Fair. Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, where do you work? And then I go, in the School of Music. Like, and what do you do there? I'm the trumpet and horn teacher. That is what I say.
Okay.
So that's what I say, is I say trumpet and horn. And I'd never put horn first, because I know they don't know.
It's like trumpet. Okay, now I know that general category. Horn. Yeah. Okay, that must be like the trumpet. Versus the issue I run into, which is if I say, you know, I work at UGA. Oh, what do you do? Music. Oh, what do you play?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I've learned to not say horn. I will say, you know, French horn. And then
horn,
some kind of qualifier, like, it's the big, shiny, loopy one. And then as much as we kind of joke on this, people will go, oh, well, you know, I always like the tuba. It's like, okay.
They do. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
People are generally way more impressed and ask way more about trumpet.
Sure.
Because they know the trumpet. I'm like, yeah, you do. I get you.
Yeah. And I get this is people just trying to make conversation. Like it's
they are. You know. And it's awful if I don't ever want to talk about it. But I think as musicians, we do get that a lot. Like when people learn about music. Or
yeah.
The other side is, like you said, someone says, oh, I like the tuba. Or they say, oh, I played something oh so long ago in middle school.
You just like cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. And like, I don't know what to say after that. I don't want to be like,
you were probably bad.
That's definitely what went through my head. Or I'm like, hey, it's so uncomfortable to be like, oh yeah, you did that too. I made a career out of it.
Yeah. Like, well,
I was okay at it.
Where my initial question came from is, tell people that you play piano? Because you do.
Not often. The way I work it in is if they ask, like, do you play? Oh, I'm sure you've gotten the question, like, oh, you're a musician. Like,
do you play
the instruments? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you play all the instruments? And my answer is always, like, I was a music ed major, so I do play all of them to a specific degree. And I usually throw in there, I accompany all my students on piano. But I'm also very quick to throw in, there are instruments I'm really terrible at, like strings. Mm. And also guitar. I know very little about guitar. And harp. I don't know anything about harp. But I can play some piano. That's usually my answer.
Yeah, same. It's like, I had to learn how to play all of them in school. But now I just mostly play this and this. And then it's like, do you play in like any local bands? You know? It's like, yeah, sort of.
Sorry. the other thing that I'm sure you get is that kind of thing where it's like, oh, I used to play, or oh, I'm a musician too. And you're like, oh, well, tell me what you do. And they go, oh, I play guitar, but I don't read music. And you're like, okay.
But see, that's if someone really says that, then I can always be like, yeah, I cannot play guitar at all. So respect to you, you know?
Right. And I usually go like, oh, okay. Well, you know, I'm sure like you're a good improviser and you play a lot by ear. And, you know, my world is just a little bit different than that.
Yeah. My goal is mostly to be as elitist as I can be and belittle people so that they don't ever talk to me again.
Sorry. God. Is that... They never talk to me again.
So let's do a little role play conversation. I'm gonna come up to you and I'm trying to work into a set at your gym, and okay, I'm like,
what lift?
Hey, bro.
Can I
work
in
with those hundreds?
Hundreds. We better be like practicing rolling them on the floor. I'm not gonna pick up the 100 dumbbells ever.
Look, I'm only here to eagle lift. Leave me alone.
Okay, got it. Okay, good. let's start this again. I don't even know what I was saying.
Okay, so I'm going to walk up. I'm going to say, hey, bro, can I work in with those hundreds? By the way, what do you do?
I'd say, well, you can work in. That's really forward. how about you tell me your name first? Like
my name is irrelevant. What do you do?
Okay, hi, irrelevant. That's awkward name, but I'm Drew. And
it was my grandpapa's name.
Well, now to you, I'm Dr. Phillips.
Heal people?
I have a doctorate, but I can't really help people. No, no, not much.
So what do you do?
This would be like one of those situations where I want to like describe my job badly to make them go away. Like, what if you were like, oh, I go in the metal.
Right. I blow into a tube.
I blow in a tube. Like, that's what I do, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I teach the next generation of young thinkers to blow into a tube.
That's what it is. I like those. Describe your job badly. Those are fun.
Yeah,
that'd be a pretty good way to make it go, make them go away.
Actually, no. They're probably the response to be like, "Oh, cool, bro." And then that's at you know this. They weren't listening to a single thing you were saying.
Pretty much. Oh, I have definitely discovered now that with people, especially at the gym, who like if you. Because, you know, you usually, like, talk to people that you've seen a bunch. Because there's that. I mean, I think it's real. Like, in the and you're a gym bro now, so you get it. Like, you see the same people.
Look, I'm there when no one else is there, so I don't talk to anyone.
Oh, okay. There's a 5 a.m. crew that I go to. And there's always there. But, like, you know, you see. Actually, you see the same people. And, like, the evolution of friendship in the gym is, like, you start with, like, the head nod.
Right.
And then you, like, fist bump. And then it's like, how are you? But you don't learn their name until, like, way later. And actually, it doesn't even matter. It's completely irrelevant if you learn their name. Because you'll never call them by their name most of the time. That has happened more times than I can say.
This is a thought experiment for everyone listening. In any kind of situation like that or social event, think of the people that you nod to. Do you know anyone's name?
I've discovered through all of this that the first time someone says their name to me, I forget
it's gone
immediately. If they don't instantly say it a second time, it's done.
You know that part of your eye that's like, it's hard to describe, but the visual, it's where you actually have a blind spot, but your brain fills it in. There actually is a part
like
of
between
the visual
your
part.
Nose? Like,
no, it's somewhere else. Anyway, that is where the first name the first time they say it goes.
I'm trying to be conscious of it too, like when they say like, oh, my name's, you know, Rob, and I'm like, okay, and then a half second later I'm like, no idea, was that,
yeah,
what was your, okay. I've learned that about myself.
Let's quickly steer this back into music, because I do have a question kind of about that, which is...
Oh my gosh, this has been so random. All right.
Let's say you're subbing with an orchestra for the first time, and you're the new guy, and you show up. Oof. What's the protocol of introducing yourself? How do you do that? Do you just sit down and wait for the actual people to be like, hey, how's it going? Or do you go up and you shake everyone's hand and, you know, introduce yourself? Because truthfully, that can be kind of an awkward thing.
It's true. And I also think that's also good, just like job skill, is to think about that situation. Okay, I think it depends on who's there when I get there. So like if I'm playing, you know, a random seat in the horn section, I'll get to the rehearsal and I'll sit there in my chair and like warm up or something. And if there's people already sitting on either side, then as I sit down, I turn and introduce myself.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm the only person sitting there, then people come in and they'll sit around me and then I introduce myself. Like I will go out of my way if I'm already sitting, but if I'm not sitting yet and the people are already there, then I would go. Like if I'm sitting playing fourth horn in a gig or whatever, and the like principal, second and third's already there, I will go ahead and just introduce myself.
Mm-hmm.
I would do that. But if I'm the only one there, then I'll let them sit down and get settled first. So I'm not like, you know,
you're
walking
out.
I'm like, hey, I'm Drew. You haven't even sat down. I just spilled your coffee everywhere. I'm Drew. I don't want to be that person either. I let them get settled and then I introduce myself. I also only introduce myself to the horn section.
Oh, well, yeah. No, you stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Unless you know, happen to know someone right in front or right next to you.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, I think people like on either side of you, and if then you can like wave to the principal if you're playing fourth or something like that. And don't interrupt their warm up or don't stare at them while they're warming up, waiting for them to finish so you can jump in and be like, hi.
Interrupt their warm up. They're just sitting there warming up. You're playing second horn and you're staring, and then suddenly you kick their leg,
right?
And their bell falls off of it because they're warming up on their leg, and you're like, "I'm trying to introduce myself to you."
Yeah, I think that would fall under bad
advice. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's wild. It would be funny though. I sure. would never also introduce myself to the conductor unless, like...
Oh, yeah, no.
No, nope. I don't think I've ever gone to personally meet a conductor.
I think the only time would be if after the concert or after the rehearsal, you pass in the hallway, you just go like, hey, it's a pleasure to play. You know, something like that. You don't even need to stop and shake hands. You could acknowledge the person that they exist.
Yeah.
Like, that's better than just walking right by them. But, I think if this is under the context, again, like you're subbing, you just show up and you just play your part and you just kind of mind your own business. And the less drama you create, the more you'll probably get hired back as long as you're good.
Your job is to, like, not even be noticed.
Your job is to be a warm body in a chair.
That does the job of being a mm-hmm. very good warm body in a chair.
Right.
You are a chameleon. And whatever that warm body needs to do, whether that's like play, you know, fourth horn on Pines of Rome.
That's right.
Or play, or just sit there and tass it the entire time.
We can do all
whatever
of those
that warm body needs to do, whatever the job is.
That's right.
That's the job. Anyway,
let's kind of leave with those words of sage advice, and we gave advice this episode.
Wow.
Tangentially, yeah, we eventually come around to it.
We do. That's how we tend to do. If you've not been here before, we'll generally at some point offer a nugget of advice.
Mostly. If you want nothing but advice, go read a book.
Yeah, this is not the place for you.
No.
No.
But otherwise, we hope you enjoy.
You should read more anyway. Yeah. Anyway, oh, sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt.
Go read a book.
Okay.
It's what there we're saying. Go. And that's it. Otherwise, we're glad that you're listening to this podcast. If you got this far, and you can reach us at coremotorhorn@gmail.com, though we haven't checked it in probably about 6 years. And we have a website.
I have checked it.
Oh, okay.
But we
no,
all we
I
get
a
like,
notification too. So
yeah, all we get is like search optimization. You know, hey, if you want to pay me a bunch, then I'll tell you how to pop up on more feeds. We don't need right. that. All we need is rage bait click titles. That's all we need. We're good.
That's right. So
we figured it out.
We'll do some more of these. If you have anything you want us to talk about, just let us know. And
yeah.
Otherwise, anything final to add?
No.